Okay, everybody, side. Today's daf is daf hey. We're starting from the bottom of Dalet Amud Beis, the final line. Toner Rabbanan. In our Mishnah, we learned Dine Mamonis Bishloisha, that if a person has a dispute vis-a-vis a litigation on loans, which the Gemara refers to Hidois Vihalvois, you need three Dayanim to Paskin. However, these three Dayanim can even be Hed Yoitois, as we learned in the Gemara previously. Says the Gemara in the top, if he happens to be extra special, a Mumcha L'Rabim, this is not the same as Mumcha that we've had previously. Mumcha L'Rabim is like a Godel Hador, a real one of the greatest of the generation. Then, Don Afili Yechidi, you don't need three, even one alone is sufficient. The Rashi at the very top of the Yomar explains that this goes according to the Mandi Omar, that we do not have Eruv Parshiois. As you recall, we had a couple of days ago in the Gemara that you need to have three Dayanim is because it says in the connection with Pikdoinois, if a person leaves a Pikdon with someone, then there is an accusation that it's been stolen. Then it says three times the word Elohim in the Pasuk. Where did we have the three times Elohim? Im lo yimotzi hagana v'nikra balabai elu Elohim al kol dvar pesh al shor al chamor it says three times Elohim. From this, you learn that you have to have three Dayanim, and there also have to be three Dayanim Mumchim. Elohim refers to Rabbonus Usrora, Rashi said before. That's according to one man, the Yomar, but that only says the Gabe Gzelis. Does that also apply to Halvois? So then we have a machloikis whether Eruv Parshius Kosov Kan or Loi. Why is there a discussion about Eruv Parshius? Because as you recall, in the middle of the parsha of a Shomer, it said, Ad Shiyoimar Kihuzeh, Ad Olehim Yobid Varshneim. Ad Shiyoimar Kihuzeh is the makor for the din of a Moedah Mikta. So Moedah Mikta for Chayra only applies to the case of a loan. It doesn't apply to Pikodin. That's why we got into the question of Eruv Parshius with a din of three. Also applies not only to a Pikodin, but also to a halvoa. So this man, the Yomas, is Rashi at the top, in kan Eruv Parshius, so therefore there is no requirement of three min ha-Torah. Even one is enough, because it says, betzedek tishpoit amisecha, and tishpoit is belosh in yochid, it doesn't say tishpoit two. So min ha-Torah, one is enough. Why did the Chum say we should have to have dafka three instead of one?
So you know it goes before love it, right?
You're right and you're wrong. You're right if you say that we start off with three and we reduce it down to one. Or if you say that we need three mumchim and you reduce it down to three hedyoitois, is exactly for the reason you just gave. However, you remember that Rav Acha Breder of Ikka said that the halacha is the other way around. That mitzad the din of hoidos valvois min ha-Torah you only need one. The rabbis, the chazal said you need three. Why? Because shlem yimtza that one that you're going to pick is going to be meyoshvei koronois. Yoshvei koronois means agroba amoret. He won't know anything. By the way, there are three more gemaras right next to you. You don't have to share. But I'm happy that you do share because after all we're here for a share. But
that's up to you.
It's for share. I understand. Anyway,
it'll be fine.
It'll be fine, yeah. Yeah, great. I'm telling you, everybody's in top form tonight. Anyway, so therefore, according to the Mandiyama, that ain't kan Eruv Parshius, you only really need one. The reason why the Chum said have three is because we're worried that one is going to be Yoshvei Koronis. And the Gemara says, well, three, they're also going to be possibly Yoshvei Koronis. And the Gemara says, if you're taking three average Jews, one of them has heard of Sashir. He went to a drasha. He remembers what he learned in his youth in the yeshiva. He'll know something. It won't be total Greek to him. That's where the Chumum is in three. But if he's a Mumcha L'Rabim, then the Chumum allowed it to be, according to Vacha Barav Ikka, according to the original din of the Torah, where even one is enough, B'tzedek Tishbara Misachem. So now give me an example of who's a Mumcha L'Rabim. So I'm Rav Nachman, Kigoyin Ano, Don Dine Mamanes B'Yachidi. I am such a person who's a Mumcha L'Rabim that I can go and be the soul dying. You don't need a bez and a three. I can do it on my own. V'chein am Rav Chia, Kigoyin Ano, Don Dine Mamanes B'Yachidi. Now the Gemara wants to understand what is Rav Nachman, what is Rav Chia teaching us. See, Boilu, Kigoyin Ano, when they said Ano, Do they mean dine can go in and not the gemirna usavirna? Vina kitna reshusa. Avaloina kitna reshusa di dine loy dina. Or idem avagav the loy noket reshusa dine dina. What the Gemara is telling us is that there are three ingredients that you need to be a mumcha l'rab. You need to be a gemirna. Rashi says a gemirna means a person who has learned a tremendous amount. Shmua is dina merabaisa. In other words, person who's been a good student for the last 5, 10, 20 years, and he's learned the whole of Shas, and he's learned it a number of times until he really knows it beautifully. Usvirna, says Rashi, Yodei ani lohoisev, look at Rashi, second and third line, Yodei ani lohoisev v'liyashiv tamimidati, based on all the knowledge that I've acquired, all that wisdom, I'm able to myself now add and subtract and be machadish chidushim and answer shailus and all the rest. Now, both of those are very, very important. But what's also important, says Yomar, is in the kitna reshusa. What means kitna reshusa? You have to have a permit to be a chief rabbi. Who do you get the permit from? So you see Rashi in the third line, Meiresh gelusa, dainona dine mominis biyachidi. You can be the Godel Hadar, but if you haven't gotten the official permit from the Reish gelusa, you still do not have that status of mumcha l'rabim that you can be done afilu yechidi. So that's the Gemara Shaila. Iboilu. When Rav Nachman and Rav Chia both said, we qualify for the mumcha l'rabim stage that, or status, that afilu yechidi, did they mean to say, we have all three ingredients? We are gemirna, we learned a tremendous amount. Savirna, we can be machadish and answer kashis, etc. On a kitna reshusa, and we have that permit. Perhaps having the first two, which is very, very great, that's very important. But if you don't have the permit, you're not authorized. Or perhaps even if they did not have the official permit and authorization from the Reish Galusa, makes no difference. The din is still good. So therefore, when we started off, does that only mean that he's a great scholar? Or is he a great scholar plus the permission from the local Reish Galusa, from the local authorities? As Toshima, the Marzuta Breda Nachman Don Dina Vito'a. He, in fact, was a Dayan on his own, and unfortunately, he made a mistake. After all, we're only human. Ein Tzadik Ba'oritz Hashiyasa Tov L'Yachta. He made a mistake. Also, the Kamadar of Yosef, he asked of Yosef, what happens? Do I have to pay now from my own pocket for making that mistake? Omalei. So he says, it depends. In kibluch alayu loy teshalim. If they accepted you, how did they accept you? So you see Rashi on the first of the narrow lines, in kibluch alayu, legamri, they accepted you. When we say they, we mean the two litigants, the plaintiff and the defendant. If both agreed, legamri lelecharecha, they're following your lead. Im ledin, im letaus. Not only if you paskin correctly, but even if you make a mistake, and they will have no tainus against you. We said we have ultimate faith in you, and even if you make a mistake, we will follow whatever you decide. Then loy tisham, then you don't have to pay. V'iloy, however, if you didn't get that blessing, but rather, says the next Rashi, v'iloy kiblu to uscha alehem. The Umrulach, they only said, the yam talon din toira. They're only asking you to go and be done din Torah and not ta'us. If you agree to din Torah, then unfortunately you made a boo-boo, zil shlim, you will have to pay. But what do we see from this Gemara? Continuing the Rashi. Umi umehedu din aloi. We don't say that one of the options or alternatives is that because you made a mistake, the din Torah is gunished. No, the din Torah works. Al magomir visavir. It comes to tell you, as long as you happen to be a great, great godel, a great, great scholar, even if you did not get reshus from the local Reish Galusa, that's fine. The ordin that you paskin, the verdict is correct. And you do not have to go and reverse the judgment and say, oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. And you reverse it. You leave it the way it is. So therefore, what do I see from this? Back to the Gemara. Shma mina, ki loy noket reshusa. Even if you did not get reshus from the Reish Galusa, dine dina. How do I see that? Because when he asked Rav Yosef, do I have to pay or didn't have to pay? Rav Yosef didn't ask him whether you had Rishus or not. Rav Yosef asked him, did the two litigants take you upon themselves as their judge? If they accepted you, even Litoyis, Loi Tishal. If they didn't accept you, Litoyis, only Litoyra, then you have to pay. Why don't we say it depends on whether the Reish Galusa appointed you? Because as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, that if a person had been appointed by the Reish Galusa, he does not have to pay. He has the ultimate supreme authority, literally the Supreme Court. They don't have to pay. But since he's saying it depends on what the litigants told you, you see that you can be done by a chidi. You do not need to get the blessing and the permit from the Reish Galusa. Shema Amidah. Omer Rav, and now we're continuing right on that same trend. Omer Rav, Hayman de Boyle Maiden Dina. If a person wants to be a Dan Din Torah singularly on his own, Vito, and if he makes a mistake, me Boyle Miftura, and he wants to make sure that he'll be Potter. In other words, if he makes a boo boo, he should not have to pay from his pocket. He'll be Potter. Lishko Rishuze Bei Reishkalusa. That's what you have to do. Make sure you get that permit from Reishkalusa. With that, you are now exempt from any, from having to pay for any mistakes that you make. V'cheinu Meshmul, Lishko Rishusa Bei Reishkalusa. That's exactly what we just said now, Omer Rav, and now we say Shmuel holds the same thing. Now, until now, we keep on talking about Reish Galusa. Reish Galusa was the ultimate political authority in Bavel. However, there were still many Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. The Reish Galusa's grip on them was much, much less. Reish Galusa was mainly in Bavel. Who was therefore the authority in Eretz Yisrael? Those were the Nesiim, starting with Rabbi Yehuda Nasi and all the other Nesiim in that line. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, maybe Rabbeinu Kodesh was not the first one, maybe the second one, the third one, but we mean that line of Nesiim that were in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, all those wonderful people. So one thing is Pashit. Mehacha lehacha. Umehasam lahasam. Umehacha lahasam mahani. The Gemara assumes, as we'll see in a moment, why, that the authority of the Reish Galusa was much greater than the authority of the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. And so therefore, if a person had permission from the Reish Galusa to paskin, he could certainly paskin in Bavel. If a person is in Eretz Yisrael and he gets a permit from the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, he can certainly paskin in Eretz Yisrael. The question is, can you mix and match? Meaning, if you get the permit from the Reish Galusa, can you go and paskin in Eretz Yisrael and be exempt from having to pay? And vice versa, that if you happen to have gotten a permit in Eretz Yisrael and you paskin in Chutz Laaretz in Bavel, and you made a mistake, do you have to go and pay? So therefore says the Gemara, Pshita, mehacha lehacha, if you get the permit from the Reish Galusa and you're paskining here hacha in Bavel, or if you're getting the permit from the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, lihasam, to paskin in Eretz Yisrael, or mehacha lehasam, you go and get a permit from Reish Galusa and you take that along to Eretz Yisrael to paskin in Eretz Yisrael, kulial moidem mahani, there's no question about it, it helps. It helps in the sense not only are you authorized to paskin, but you get a break any time that you make a mistake. You do not have to go and pay. Wow, you like that, right? Now the question, however, here is, what's the reason why? What's the reason why? Explains the reason. The Hacha Shevet here in Chutz Laaretz by Reish Galusa, he holds the scepter of authority. V'hasam, while in Eretz Yisrael, they are mechoikik. Mechoikik means he is like a legislator. What does that mean? Kiddusanya, like it says in the Brice, it says in the Pasuk, L'yosu shevim Yehuda u'mechoikik mibein raglav. That is among the brachas that we find that Yaakov Avinu gave to his children at the end in Parshas Vayechi. So what does it say in the Pasuk? L'yosu shevim Yehuda. The shevet, meaning power, which is represented by the scepter, just like we find by Achashverosh, right? With Esther, he had that Sharvit. So Shevet is like a Sharvit. So that will never leave the Shevet of Yehuda because they're going to be the rulers. They're going to be the Molochim. Who is this referring to? Eilu Rashi Goli Shevet Bavel. Even in the times when Chas Yisrael, Chas V'Sholem, Klal Yisrael is in Golus, we're now in Bavel, still the Shevet of Yehuda will continue to maintain and retain the political power. Shiroidin Yisrael b'Shevet. They can go and control. They have the dominion over, they have the koyach. Roidim doesn't mean to go and give fetch. Roidim means that they have the political power over Klal Yisrael, given to them by the Malchei Paras. So the Persian kings gave them somewhat of an autonomous political power to the Reish Galusa to take care of the Yidden. That is Shevet. What is that referring to? Mechoik again means also a degree of power, but that of a legislator, not the degree like a king. That they go and teach Torah Barabim in Eretz Yisrael. So what is the Gemara telling us? Therefore, that the Shevet, the political power of the Reish Galusa in Bavel, was taka political power. Masha'enkin, the power of the Nesim in Eretz Yisrael, was more rabbinic power, Talmudic power, Jewish power, but it wasn't political power in the sense of having the power of the government behind you. And therefore, says the Gemara, if you had a person who had the benefit of the permission or the permit from the Reish Galusa, not only could he paskin in Bavel, but also in Eretz Yisrael, with total immunity, he would not have to worry about paying if he goofed. On the other hand, what happens if you get the permit of the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, and then you travel to Bavel, and you paskin over there? Will that also give you that total immunity that Rav and Shmuel both said? If you want to be Iboy Lemiftera, Lishko Rishusa, get that Rishusa, does that help? Does the Nasi's permit help in Chutzlart? My, Estoshima, the Rav Bar Chana, the Toises in the bottom says not to be confused with Rabba Bar Bar Chana, which you have often in Chas. This is Rabba Bar Chana, it's someone else. We'll see shortly. He was a cousin of Rav, we'll see in the bottom of the Omid. Don Dina, he in fact did Paskin, the Torah, and he made a bubu. Now where did this take place? We're going to see in the Gemara in the bottom of the Omid. The Rabba Bar Chana originally was in Eretz Yisrael, and he originally got a permit from the Nesiim, and he now went and traveled to Bavel, and he paskined in Bavel. And when he gets back to Eretz Yisrael, he realizes, uh-oh, I goofed. I missed a Chuvis Rabbi Kiva Eger, I missed a Chuvis Chassam Sofer, a Chuvis Noida Behuda, Yabia Oimer, Igris Moshe, I messed up. What do I do? So he comes, also the Kamed Reb Chiya, came in front of Reb Chiya. We'll see in the bottom of the Amid Reb Chiya was his uncle. So he says, Reb Chiya, what do I do? Amalez, he told him, very simple, Im Kibluch Alayu, if the two parties agreed to Mimekabel you. Now you remember what Rashi said at the top of the Amid, Im Kibluch Alayu, on that first narrow line. If they agreed, both Ledin and Letaus, they told you in advance, you get total immunity. If you mess up, we follow whatever you say. Like the Shalom, then you don't have to pay. V'loy, however, if they didn't give you that blanket immunity, because they said, we're only following you l'toira, l'din, but not l'tois, then Shalom, then you have to go and pay. Says the Gemara, V'har Rabba Bar Chana, Rishus HaVenokit. But Rabba Bar Chana, as we'll see on the bottom of the Omid, did have Rishus, he had a permit from the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. And he paskin now in Bavel. Says Reb Chiya, if the two parties did not agree to take upon themselves litos, only ledin, sorry, you're going to have to pay. Why should you have to go and pay? After all, he has that permit from Eretz Yisrael. Shema mina, mi hasam lahacha loy mahani. The permit from Eretz Yisrael is givaldik, but it's only givaldik in Eretz Yisrael. It does not help in Bavel. Shema mina. Frankly, what is that true? Loy mahani, it doesn't help. I'll tell you a parallel situation. But Rabba Bar Rav Huna, not to be confused with Rabba Bar Chana. Rabba Rav Huna, a different Chushev Yid. Ki Avaminza Bahadei, the Bei Reish Galusa, when they were chepening him from the Bei Reish Galusa. In other words, they were kind of making fun of him. And Rashi said that they were saying to him, we happen to be in power, and you are the one that is kofuf, you are subjugated to us. Omar, so then Rabba Bar Rav Huna would say to them, I didn't get the permit from you guys, the Reish Galusa. The Kitner Rishus and Abba Mori. I got Rishus from my father. That was Rav Huna. The Abba Mori got it May Rav. And Rav got it May Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya May Rabbi. All of whom were in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore my rishus stems from Eretz Yisrael. So big, don't be such big shots, you Reish Galusa guys. I have permit from Eretz Yisrael. So it sounds like from what he's saying that it's at least on the same level, if not even better, than the Reish Galusa. Everything would have been milta the Alma Hu the Oikim Lahu. He was trying to push them away. They were giving him a hard day, one of those days. Who are you? We got from Reish Galusa. You're Reish Galusa, I'm from the Nasi. He knew that the permit from the Nasi is not on the same level as that of the Reish Galusa, but he wanted them to stop bothering him and to pester him, and so he kind of pushed them away with that. Okay, so bottom line is, what have we concluded? We've concluded that the authority of the and the permit that you receive in Eretz Yisrael does not reach or does not rise to the same level as the permit in Bavel. So, Freitimor, if that's the case, if in fact it doesn't help you at all if you get a Nasi from Eretz Yisrael's permit when you go out to Bavel, Rava Bar Chanan Rishusa Denoket Lomeli. So why did he even bother? We'll see Mechem in another few lines that Rava Bar Chanan, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, was planning on moving to Bavel at least for a period of time, maybe to because they needed rabbis to go on Paskin Shailas. Maybe he went for Kirov purposes. Doesn't tell us why he went, but Lamaisa, he was going to Bavel. And before he left, he said, before I get, I better get a permit from the rabbis in Eretz Yisrael. So, Frank Timura, what benefit does it have? We just said now, you can have 12 permits from the rabbis in Eretz Yisrael. If you go to Bavel, you need it from the Reish Galusa. So what have you accomplished by getting the permit from the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael? And for the Gemara, you have a very good point. There happen to be border cities. These border cities happen to be Bavel cities. However, since they happen to be so close to Eretz Yisrael, they follow the Piske Halacha, the Dinim, Dayanim, Rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael. They feel so close, even though technically they're over the border in Bavel, but nevertheless, Rashi says they're Nimshech Acher Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, he, Rabbi Bachana, figured, now when I'm going to go over into Bavel, Memela, the rest of Bavel, each one, I'm going to have to ask them before we do the Din Torah, are you Mekabel Alai or an Aleichem for both Torah for Din and for Toz? Because if they only accept for Din and not for Toz, if I make a goof, I'm going to have to go and pay. So that's what you're going to have to go and do. So his Rishus from Eretz Yisrael is not going to help very much. However, there on Hagvulim, there, since they are Nimshech Acher Eretz Yisrael, perhaps technically they are geographically part of Bavel, and the people that are there have all of the Babylonian, in other words, Chutzlars requirements. Okay, good. Then they don't have Tumis and Maestris and all the rest. However, since they're so close to the Gvul of Eretz Yisrael, they are affected by the Rabbanim, Dayanim, and Torah of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore he figured, if I'm going to go and Paskin over there, I should go and at the very least get the Rishus of the Eretz Yisrael Nasi when I'm going to go and Paskin there in Bavel, since they're so close to Eretz Yisrael. Now, unfortunately, that's what he did, and he goofed. And now the question is, does the Rishus of Eretz Yisrael help? So therefore he went to Reb Chiya, and Reb Chiya said, if they agreed, good. If they didn't agree, then you still, that's not going to work. So why did he take in the first place? Because those are Yoris, since they're so close to Eretz Yisrael. Presumably, either the Rishus, the permit from Eretz Yisrael, from the Nasi, would be sufficient, or there would be much more able to and receptive to...
Inclined,
both Ledin and Litos. Okay, so we've been talking so much about getting the Rishus from the Reish Galusa, getting the Rishus from the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. How do you define my Rishus? What means Rishus? You get a piece of paper saying you're hereby permitted and authorized to Paskin. What does it mean? It's Kehab Nochas Rabbi Bar Chana LeBavel. Oh, that's what we spoke about before. Rabbi Bar Chana was originally in Eretz Yisrael and was moving to Bavel. Amalei Reb Chiya LeRebbe. Reb Chiya said to Rebbe, Rebbe was the Nasi, Rebbe Yehuda Nasi at that time. And Reb Chiya said about Rabbi Bar Chana, Ben Achi, my nephew, the son of my brother, is Yorid LeBavel. We'll see Mechem on the bottom of the Amid that Reb Chiya and Chana and Chuna were brothers. And this is Rabbi Bar Chana, therefore Reb Chiya is referring to him as my brother's son, meaning my nephew. He's going to Bavel. So I'd like to ask you, Yoira, can you give him a permit to be Yoira? Yoira means to paskin dine iser veheter. In other words, not litigation, but rather, is this kosher, not kosher, is this tummy, is this not tummy, and things of that nature. So he said, yeah, yoyra, I'm willing to go and give him yoyra. And then he asked him, yodin, can he also paskin shailis of choshen mishpat, where there in fact is a dispute between a taveya and a nitba, toyin and a nitan, a plaintiff and a defendant. He said, yodin, yeah, I give that to you as well. Yater b'chayrus, will you allow him out to mater b'chayrus? Now, what means mater b'chayrus? As you know, if you have a b'chor, behema tohayra, you have to go and give it to the kohen. And at the time the Beis Midrash stood, then the kohen brought this as a carbon, like we say in the Kabbonis in the morning, b'chor v'amas or pesach, kochim kalim, etc. So b'chor, you gave to the kohen, that was a present, just like you gave truma to the kohen, you gave the b'chor to the kohen, and the b'chor was brought by the kohen as a carbon. But unfortunately, ever since the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, we can't bring Kabbalas. So what do you do with the Bechor? You have to wait until the Bechor gets a mum, and only after it gets a mum, then you can go and shecht it outside the Beis HaMikdash. Now, who's to decide whether it got a mum or not? So, we want to know whether Rabbi Bar Chana, can he be given the authority by Rebbe, by the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, to mata Bechoyres and say, yeah, this is a full-fledged mum, and therefore you can go and shecht it, you don't have to wait until the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, or until it develops another mum. Says Gemara, Yati, yeah, I'm giving that heter as well. So therefore, those were the three components of the smicha, so to speak. Even today, when they give smicha, typically they write yoyra, 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 and if the person has learned choshem mishvah, they say yoyra, yoyra, yodin, yodin. Today, of course, there's not that much of a market or an issue about the b'chayres, but that was the way it was in the good old days. Yoyra, you know, here in our Gemara, you don't read it together. It's with a question mark. Will you give him a permit to be Yoyra? Yes, Yoyra. Do you give him a permit to be Yodin? Yes, Yodin. Do you give him a permit to Yatim B'chayres? Yes, Yatim. Similarly, says Gemara, Kevin Nochas, Rav LeBavel, when Rav went up to Bavel, similar to the Rabbi Barchana that we just had, only Reb Chiya LeRebbe, again, Reb Chiya was the one that was vouching and requesting on behalf of his nephew. And in this case, he referred to his nephew, Rav, Ben Achoisi Yoyra LeBavel. Notice he didn't say Ben Achi, the son of my brother. He said the son of my sister. We're going to get back to that shortly. And he asked him the same thing. Will you permit him to be a Yoyra? Yes, Yoyra. Can he be a Yodin? Yes, a Yodin. Yater B'chayr? Ooh, Al Yater. Ooh, why? What happened? So we're going to discuss that on the Amud Beis. Just put that back of your minds for a moment. We're going to get back to that. So now, the Gemara asks another question. Ma'ishno lemar, the Kakori ben Achi, how come when Rabbi Bar Chana, who was the nephew of Reb Chiya, when Reb Chiya spoke to Rebbe about him, he referred to him as the son of my brother. Well, ma'ishno lemar, and how come when he referred to Rab, the Kakori ben Achoisi, it's the son of my sister. In both cases, right, nephews. Right. But there's a nephew from the brother, a nephew from the sister. Why did he make that differentiation? It's very simple, because he was the son of a brother. He was the son of a sister, and that's why he made that difference. But that's not true. Doesn't everybody know that there were several brothers, Aivu and Chana and Shila and Marta and Reb Chiya, Kulu b'nei Abba bar Acha, Karsala mikifri have it. Abba bar Acha, Karsala, I'm not sure what Karsala means, it sounds almost like a family name. Abba bar Acha Kisla, who came from Kifri, he had a few sons. Aivu, Chana, Shila, Marta, and Reb Chiya. Says Yimara, Rav bar Achva, to have bar Achsei. Rav was both a nephew from a brother of Reb Chiya and a sister of Reb Chiya. We'll see how that works in a moment. Well, Rav Bar Chana was Bar Achva, the La Bar Achsa. He was only a son of a brother and not the son of a sister. So now, first let's deal with Rav Bar Chana, because that's very simple. Chana was a brother of Reb Chiya, as we see, right? Look at this list. Evu Chana, and then Shilamartu Reb Chiya. So Reb Chiya and Chana were brothers, because they were both the sons of Abba Bar Acha Mikifri. Okay, very good. So now, when Reb Chiya is speaking on behalf of his nephew, who's his nephew? Rabba Bar Chana. He refers to him as the son of my brother. He was not the son of his sister. He was only the son of the brother. So that's why he introduced him as Ben Achi. Rav, however, had a double distinction. Rav was both a nephew from a son and a nephew from a brother, thank you, yeah. As well, Brother Shai, you would know all about brothers, as well as he was a son of a sister. Now, how does that work? How does that come? So it's we have to have a couple. You have it a number of times in Shas. It's true, but each time you have to remember exactly how that works, because very few of us remember the exact family relationship. Most of us were not there at the chasanis of any of them, so we didn't know them personally. But to make it simple, Abba Bar Acha had a son. The son that he had initially was Aivu. That was his name, Aivu. Abba Bar Acha unfortunately lost his wife. It was very, very tragic. You have no idea the Levayas and the Nebuch and the Shiva and the Shloshim. It was very tragic. Okay, but Abba Bar Acha Lamaisa had a son, Aivu. Vayhi Hayomim, Baruch Hashem, they read a Mashiach, and he now marries an Almana. We don't know what the Almana's name is, but since Abba Bar Acha's name was Abba, why don't we just call her Ima? So Abba married Ima. It sounds good, right? Now, Ima also had a daughter. We don't know the name of the daughter. We'll call her Sprintza for convenience. Good. So what happens now? We have now a new family brought together, two males and two females. We have Abba, who married Ima. For both of them, it was a Zivik Shaini, means a second marriage. Abba had a son, Aivu, from the first marriage. She had her daughter, Sprintza, from the second marriage. Are the two related? Meaning that, of course not. No relationship whatsoever.
Step siblings.
You can call them step siblings. Over the Masa, there's no blood relationship. No, right. And that's going to be very important. Okay. Anyway, so Abba and Ima Baruch Hashem lived together, and they were blessed with a son. And the son's name was Chia. Later years, he was known as the famous Reb Chia.
And he could call them Abba and Ima.
Exactly. Not only he could, presumably that's what he did.
Chutzpah deck because of their first name.
Exactly. Oh, that's he had to say Reb Abba and the Moras Imam. Very good. Okay. Anyway, so according to cut to the chase over here, so we have now Reb Chia. Now Reb Chia, since he was born to Abba, he is now a half brother of Aivu. Since he was born to Ima, he's a half brother of Sprintza. So he can clearly say about the two of them, Aivu is my dear brother, half-brother, and Sevda by Sprintza happens to be my sister. Anyway, Reb Chia perhaps was the Shatchan, maybe not, maybe yes, it makes no difference. But eventually, Aivu and Sprintza, as they got older, guess what? Mazel Tov, they got married. Oh, Baruch Hashem. And were they allowed to get married? Of course, we said they're not related whatsoever, no problem. And they had a son by the name of Rav. Oh. So now, since we have the name, let's not confuse it with other facts. His name was Rav. So now this Rav looks to Reb Chia, and he says, Reb Chia, boy, that is the brother of my father, Aivu, and he's also the brother of my mother, Sprintza. And therefore, Reb Chia is able to say about him, he is both my nephew from my brother, and the nephew because it's the son of my sister. That's the reason why he referred to him as the son of the sister, which he could not have done vis-a-vis Rabbi Bar Chana, because Rabbi Chana was only a son of the brother and not a son of any sister. In other words, Chana married somebody else, not a half-sister, just some lady, Ruchel from the Gas, Yanta, whatever her name was, and they had that son Rabba, which is very good, but Rabba was only the son of Chana, which was one of the other brothers of Reb Chia, have nothing to do with the sister of Reb Chia. Fine. But even though now we have distinguished beautifully that Rav, in fact, was a nephew not only from the brother, but also from the sister, why did we have to even talk about the sister? After all, he was also a nephew as a result of the brother, just like Rabbi Bar Chana was, so why shouldn't he be consistent and talk about both of them? Ben Ochi, Ben Ochi. Why does he have to say Ben Achoy? See, says Yimar V'Yiboy Yisayim, I'll tell you another good reason. Because Al Shem Chachmosoy, because he wanted to impress Rebbe. Reb Chia was saying, my nephew, Azachochom. That's the Chsiv, that's the Pasuk, Emor Lachochma Choysi Ot. We have a Pasuk in Mishlei that tries to compare Chochma to that of a sister. And therefore what he's saying is, the reason why I'm referring to Rav as my nephew, being the son of my sister, because Mishlei, the Pasuk refers to Chochma as having some sort of comparison, some sort of parallel to Achoisi. So once you know, he's not just my nephew, he's a tremendous Chochm Godel. Oh, that's the great fact. That's the end of this shtickle. We're going to continue in a moment just for a very short break. Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Zeichat Tzadik Levracha, was asked, we know that there's a din of a man is not allowed to wear women's clothing, a woman's not allowed to wear men's clothing. It's not just a question of clothing, but also men hug him as well, because of what it says in the Torah, that Silbash Isha, Silbash, Kevrakli, Simlas Isha, etc. So they asked Reb Chaim, can you go and give a girl a boy's name? And can you give a boy a girl's name? Or does that also a violation? So Reb Chaim says it's not a shayla whatsoever, and he has a whole tshuva on it, which goes on for a couple of pages. He says the reason is, and I don't remember the exact number, I think it was 54 or 55 times we find through Shas Bavli and Shas Yerushalmi and the Medrash and the Tosefta and the Svarim Tanim and among the Gaonim, etc., 54, 55 names which were unigender.
So Shelley and Barry and
I don't know if he refers to those names. But what he does refer to is, for instance, we have over here Chana. We know Chana, and Chana, of course, is the mother of
Shmuel.
And here we're talking about Chana being the father of Rav Bar Chana. And you have Marta. Marta is a brother.
Marta Bar Bais,
who was a famous in the times of the Beis Midrash. So these are just two out of many, many other today. For instance, the name Simcha is unigender. Right? You have men that have named Simcha, girls have named Simcha. Okay, and other names similar to that. So he said, well, there's no Shaili, you see, so many times. But how is he able on, you know, on his fingertips? He didn't have to, you know, do a Google or anything like that. He just wrote out, this Gemara, we see this, we see this, Yerushalmi, and this, and Tanakh. Hey, they just rattle it off. Okay, so that's vis-a-vis that.
Who's also another Marta, that they got, you know, was she converted, or was
that...
Okay, whatever.
And we continue on. Now we said that Rabbi Bar Chana, we said, got the permission to go and paskin legabi mumin of a bechor. However, not Rab. It's a freighting more yet. Yater bechor is al yater. My time. What's the reason why? Ilay mishem nolei chacham, because he wasn't so smart. Hakomrin the chacham tuva. We just said now about Rab. Emma le chachma achoy siyat al shem chachmasai. Ella must be mishem nolei bekiy b'mumi. Maybe he's not a baki when it comes to ilchas mumin. Rav said, Shmoina Osa Chadoshim Gidalti Eitzel Roye Behema. 18 months I gave away from my life, and I lived with, and I worked with constantly a Roye Behema, a shepherd of animals. Laid the Ezemum Kavua, the Ezemum Maimer, to be able to see with my own eyes what type of mum stays there forever, and what mum goes away after a short period of time, to be able to paskin the Ishailis. So, if anything, he was probably the Gadol Hador in Hilchos Mumin by Bechor. So why didn't he give him that authority? To my Chalik Leikovay LeRabba Bar Chana, because Rabba Bar Chana until now was known as the great authority in being Mata Bechoris, because Rebbe gave him that authority in the Umid Aleph. So we don't want to diminish the prestige of Rabba Bar Chana, after Rabba Bar Chana and Rav were cousins. Rabba was the son of Chana, and the Rav was the son of Aivu. So we didn't want Rav to take away any of his prestige. And says Rashi, and you don't have to worry about Rav's covet, because on the third line, fourth line, Rav was what recognized throughout the world as the God of Adar. So you didn't have to worry about diminishing his prestige. But we didn't want to take away from Rav Bar Chana that he was a very great God as well. Since Rav was such a baki, such an expert, Vishari Mumi, and he was Matar Mum Dalayadi Inchi, that other regular laymen would look at the I don't see a mum, where's the mum? That's considered mum. Oh, the Amri.
Mislead people.
Next time when they have a Shiloh, they have Kegam the Shorav. I remember Rav was also Matar Agunish.
Right.
But they didn't know that Rav was able to go and distinguish between Agunish and something. Vasilim Ishri Mum Oiver. Therefore, unfortunately, they may be misled in following Rav's ways without realizing that Rav was Taka Godel, and he could distinguish between a Mum Oiver and Mum Kavua easily without difficulty, and they can't, so that they should not be misled. They say, you know what, the best thing is, let Rav not get involved. You're going to go to Rav Bar Chana. Rav Bar Chana is also great, but not on that same high level as Rav, so we won't have a problem. Okay, so now we said that one of the three elements that you ask for Rishus, for the permit, for the authority, is you ask Yoira, Yoira. Freitimura, why? Igom Rishusa, Lomalila Mishkal. Why don't, if you're telling me, I'm sorry, I have to make a comma. Igomir, if this person is a gomir, remember we said that the first two ingredients have to be a gemirna usvirna. He has to be a great gadol. And then, do you have to get rishus from the Reish Galusha? Don't you have to get rishus? Or from the Nasi? So, Vreidimar Igomer, if he's such a great Talmud Chacham, Shusalamali in the Mishkal. Why do you have to go and ask rishus that he should go and be blessed? And Mizaytachi, he knows Hilchas Shabbos on his fingertips. He knows Hilchas Taruvis. He knows Basa Mechalev. He knows it. So what's the problem? So I'll tell you why. There was a story that happened. What was the story? The Sani, we learned in the Brisa. Pamachas Halach Rebbe Lamokim Echad. Rebbe once came to a place. And he saw that the people over there were bakers and they were Megabel. Megabel means to go and knead with a K. It's a Knaten in Yiddish. To knead their Isa. Isa means their
dough.
The dough, thank you. Betuma. Betuma means, Rashi says, in Kalim that were Tameim. As a result, the dough is going to become Tomei. And he's saying to them, Omelhem, Rebbe says to them, I see that none of you toivel these Kalim, and maybe some of the Kalim were Klicheris, which you can't toivel anyway, and they became Tomei, and you're Bimega. How are you doing that? You're now creating dough, which is Tomei.
And you're going to take challah from it.
Assuming
and
that
give it to a coin. It's a whole Michshol.
Well, the question is whether at that time the Kahanim started, it was still ate it or didn't eat it, because it's already after Chon B'Smegdish, but you're right. Anyway, but the point is, you are now creating for naught Isa Betumah. So Amr Loi, they told him, Talmud Echad Bolakan, there was a Talmud that came here, when you say Talmud Mira, Talmud Chochem, that came here recently, V'hoir Elan, when he told us, maybe Tzayim in Machshirin. He told us, maybe Tzayim is not Machshir. V'hu may Beitzim Dorishlu. What does this mean? As we know, for any food to become Tameh, it has to be Mukhshir L'Kabal Tumah. To be mushed to the Tumah, one of the seven mashkois has to fall on it or has to spill on it. Yad and Barry's going to remind us. Yad Shechadam. Does Yad Shechadam include eggs?
No.
And that's why if he had, for instance, egg matzah or egg challah, right. If there's no water in the matzah or in the challah, they are not susceptible to Makabel Tumah. So now that Talmud taught them, if you want to avoid Tumah in your dough or any of your food items, don't put in water, and don't go and put in dvash or any of the other seven mashkois. Instead, put in eggs. That's what he taught them. However, they didn't understand them that well. Apparently, he didn't speak that clearly or didn't enunciate that clearly. And they thought he meant mei bitzoim. Now, what means mei bitzoim? So Rashi says mei bitzoim means water that comes out of the agam or the marshes, meaning not clear-cut water, but water as ashtikl, muddy water, which is not so clean, not so good. And that mei bitzoim is similar to the word mei beitzim. In fact, Tosis is bothered by bitzoim and beitzim don't sound exactly the same. So Tosis brings a pasuk. The pasuk is in, does we have it here? In Eoif, hayige goyme beloy vitza. That vitza is talking about this mei bitzoim, waters in a marsh, waters out in the agam, and therefore it's, although Agamor refers to Bitzoim, but in Tanakh it refers to him as Bitza, or Bitzim. So he said, Beitzim, 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 Beitzim. You know, there's not that much of a difference. It's spelled the same. Here's one chirik in here. The two chiriks, etc.
Yeshem Lemikra, Yeshem Lemisara.
Oh, you're getting back in that sugi again. Okay, so it says the Gemara, V'hu may Beitzim darishlu, V'inu sover may Bitzoim kamar. And therefore they made a big, big boo-boo. And there, unfortunately, they were being megabal, their Issa Betumah, by using these marsh waters, thinking that that's what this Talmud Chacham said, that mei beitzim, mei beitzim, mei betzayim is not machshir. Made a big boo-boo. Another boo-boo. The Tonam Baha. Mei kremyon u'mei feiga. Mei kremyon and feiga, these are two bodies of water, which are bodies of water in the agamim. Rashi says, Nahori shel agam. In other words, these are marsh waters. Psulim, they're apostle to use for purposes of mei chatas. As soon as the Beis Hamikdash will be rebuilt, we're going to have one of the first things, we're going to have to find a poraduma, shecht it, burn it, mix it with mayim chayim el keli, and then go and mix it, and then we're going to spritz all the yin and klal yisrael, all the kelim, so everybody should be tohor once again. So now this Talmud also said the mei kremion and mei feiga are posel, they're posel to use for mei chatas. Why? The same thing we said before, because they happen to be
stagnant
waters and they're not mayim chayim. The inu saver, when they heard that, they assumed melgabi chatas psili, since they are posel for mei chatas, means that they're not on the same level as regular waters. Maybe the only waters that are makshir are the crystal clear waters that you get with the fluoride, with the chlorine, with those that come out of the tap, but not those that come out of the marshes. So they figured if it's not good for mechatas, it's a second level type of water, and therefore it's not makshir either. But it really has nothing to do with one another. It doesn't say anything about maim. It has to be a special type of water. Water is makshir, Therefore, since the people were toya, even though they learned from a great Talmud Chacham, it's Tana Ba'isisho Gazru. Talmud Al Yoyrelem came noito Rishus Me Rabbi. That any Talmud Chacham that wants to go and Paskin Shilas, even of Isser Veheter, he does not have the right and no permit unless he has a permit from his rabbi, who the rabbi will be able to discern from him whether he speaks with great enunciation, with great pronunciation, erudition, whether he's articulate, so that people will understand exactly what he's saying, that people will not be toa. So that's already, if you will, a constraint on a Talmud Chacham in Paskening. There's another constraint the Gemara tells us now. Tanchem Beredev Ami. Ikla Lachatar. Chatar was the name of a place. And Dorish Lehu. Any Paskin for them. Mutal Lilzois Chitim BePesach. That means what happens if you want to go and take kernels of wheat and you want to go and bake matzah for Pesach. But when you're trying to crush them, you realize they're dry and they're hard. Segait nisht. So what you do is you Lilzois, you first dampen them, you soak them for a short period of time, and then as soon as you soak them, you don't let it sit there, because you let it sit there, it's all going to, so what happens, what you're going to do is right after that, start crushing, and that's, he said, you're allowed to do that on Pesach, as long as you crush it immediately after you wetten these pieces of, so Amuloi, so they said now to Tanchem, Reder Ba'ami, how did you paskin? Lav remani de mintzor ikka hocha. Isn't your Rebbe, Rebbe Mani Ben Tzur, Mintzur, isn't he local? And if that's the case, what time didn't we learn Talmud Ayurayah Halacha Mamakim Rabbi?
Yes.
That if you happen to be living in the Mokim Rabbi, or if you're being asked to Shalom Mokim Rabbi, you have to defer and say, don't ask me. You have to go and ask the Rebbe. So why are you paskening? Unless there is a distance between the two of at least three parsais. But if you happen to be within that machna, you can't. And he was paskening, he should have said, why are you asking me? Go and ask Remani de Mintzur. Amalhu, Satanchem said, you're 100% right, lava tatoid, it didn't occur to me. In other words, he didn't realize that it was within those three parsois. Or he did know that, but it didn't occur to him that he'd have this constraint on paskening shaylus. And so it was, in a sense, if you will, a bubu. So what does this Gemara have to do with the previous Gemara? It's telling us that not every Talmud Chacham can go and paskin. First, the Talmud Chacham has to get this yoyra from a rabbi who sees that he's able to enunciate and explain himself correctly and perfectly, that people will understand that Mebeim and Mebetzoim are not one and the same, etc. And number two, don't paskin within the Dal Ramis or the Sholish Barsois of your Rebbe unless you get permission from him. Now we come up with a brand new halacha, which l'chayr is not related. In fact, the Rashi starts off, l'yisparish l'on my bayah. I don't even know how this gets here, but we'll see where there is a connection in a moment. So Gemara says, Reb Chiya Chazil hu gavra, he saw a person, the Abakoy Bebeis HaKvaris, was standing there in the middle of a Beis HaChaim, in the middle of a cemetery. Amaleisi said to him, lav ben ish ployni koyinata. I don't know you that well, but if I'm not mistaken, aren't you the son of Mr. Cohen? And Mr. Cohen obviously is a Cohen, and therefore you're also a Cohen. How are you standing Malik Cohen Bebeis HaKvaris? Our Malays, he told him, in. What you're saying is correct. Avu Adahu Gavra, meaning my father, is Taka Cohen. However, unfortunately, Gva Einayim Havak. Gva Einayim means he had a terrible Yetzahara, and he opened up his eyes. We say in Kriyashmat, this is Suru, but unfortunately his eyes were too big and he was Sasuru Achre Enechem. And Nosan in Begrusha, he married a Grusha, Koin's not a married Grusha, Rahman al Islam. And what happens? Bechulai, and the son now is a Cholol. As a Choli, as a Dinam, like a regular Yisrael, all the Dinam of Kahuna no longer apply to him. So, how does this story have anything to do with anything else?
Well, it's a grave situation.
Oh, boy. In fact, if you're talking about in a Beis HaChaim, it was a real mess, and quite a few of them. Anyway, so what was the story over here? So Rashi has two pshatim, but the first pshat he says is, even though we just said now that a Talmud is not to be Yoyra Halacha B'Mokam Rabboi, anybody that asks him a Shaila, you have to go and say, don't ask me, go and ask my Rebbe. Here's his telephone number, here's his address, go over and ask him. That's if it's type of shayla, that can wait until you ask the Rebbe. However, if you see someone doing a dvar iser, then the Gemara says about that, the kol mokayim that there is in Yisura, ein cholkin b'mokayim, ein cholkin kovid b'mokayim rav. Then you don't have to worry about giving kovid. Then even a Talmud can go and say, hey, you can't do that. The person is being Mechal Shabbos, you can say, well, I really shouldn't tell him off, because my Rebbe lives across the street. Let my Rebbe go and tell him. No. If you see someone doing an Isser, you can tell him immediately, tell him in a nice way. You don't want to reject a Jew, Chas V'Shalom. But you go and you tell him, my dear friend, don't you realize it? Say, Shabbos, I didn't know it was Shabbos today. Well, I'm telling you, Shabbos, come in, you'll see they're serving Chul and Tinkigo in Shul. Oh, I thought, because it's Thursday, and the Koyle always gives a Chul and Tinkigo on Thursday. Anyway, bottom line is, so that's what the Gemara is telling us is, even though you can be Moira Alochem Mokam Rabbi, but where there happens to be an Isser being performed or being committed, then El Chol can cover the Rav. Then you can go and tell him yourself. Okay, on to the next story. Zokti Moira Vaiter. Okay, Pshita. One thing is partial to us, lepalga ha-ka'omer de-mahani. What means palga? That when you're getting rishus from the Reish Galusa or from the Nasi, that you can split it. What does it mean split it? Says Rashi, you only give him rishus, le-moshel, to be yore and to be yodin, but not lehatir b'choyreis. Okay, so in that sense, we are cutting the amount, we're limiting the amount of rishus that we're giving. Now that's in terms of the breadth of the authority being given by the Reish Galusa or the Nasi. Akamam demani works. Al Tanai Mai. Now, Rashi says Al Tanai means if you give him a time period. In other words, they give you this permit for a year. And a year from now, come back again. In other words, it's a 1 year license, 2 year license, a year, come back, and we'll give you another faher. We'll see whether you still know your stuff, etc. So, demahana Al Tanai Mai. What's the din? Toshima di omel, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon. Hari ata b'shu seinu, achetovai etzleinu. What does that mean? So Reb Shimon had received from Reb Yoichanan this yore, this rishus to go and paskin, and he took it with him and he went down to Bavel, and he asked Reb Yoichanan, how long will this be effective? He says, it'll be effective until you return to us in Eretz Yisrael. So if you come back in a year from now, 5 years from now, that's how long the permit survives. When you come back, then come back to us, and we'll see whether we're going to renew your permit again. So you see that, in fact, yes, you can limit, in the time constraints, the rishus. Okay, so Gemara Vayta Gufa, we learned already before, Omer Shmuel, Beisha Donadinim Din. Two that were Dan, instead of getting a bezin of three, only had a bezin of two, what they paskin is gepaskin. In other words, their psak is binding. Al Shenikra bezin chotzer, but it's a chutzpah, because the Chachom said, especially in those cases, well, that's a separate story. But the Chum said that you have to have a bezin of three, especially according to Rabbi Chabrei Devika, that said that by Dini Mominis you only need one Minat Torah. It's a Chum that required three, and you know you're taking two, so Minat Torah it works, okay? By Hoidos Valvois it works too. However, the Chum said you have to have three, so it's a chutzpah that you're going against the Takanas Chazal. He repeated the Shtikal Torah. We learned in the Brisa Filishtein Mezakan, Ishtein Mechayiv, and Viachan Oimer, Eini Yoideya. What happens if you have a bezin of three? And two of them say for sure, yes, he's right, Schus. Or two of them say he's wrong, Lechayiv. And one of them says, Eini Yoideya. Chvais Nisht, I don't know, Eini Yoideya. What do you do now? You don't say, well, it's two against zero. But you see, for Hadion, we have to be Moisef Dayanim until you get with a clear majority of two against one, or three against two, or three against one, etc. But you can't have two against zero. Why can't you have against zero? So Rashi will say, what says on the Gemara's Teret shortly, because since you established a bezin of three, there has to be a bezin of three, and you can't paskin based on two. We'll see about this in a moment. So you see for the other. So Frank Dimar, according to Shmuel, that says, according to Shmuel, forget about the third guy. Okay, the third guy says, any day, I don't know. Okay, tell him sayonara, lehitraot, zayizint, goodbye. Well, he still got two, and therefore, according to Shmuel, it should work. And for the Marshani Hosan, he called out, the Tlasa Yesivi. Hochalavadaita Tlasa Yesivi. Says Shmuel, if you started off with three, then you got to end off with three. And therefore, you cannot paskin two against zero. It's got to be two against one. The third person says, you don't know. Be moisef dayanim until you get a majority where some say yes and some say no. But you can't do this just based on two. However, says Shmuel, but if you started off with two, even though you shouldn't have, it's a bezin chotzef, a b'lamaisa, since that was the initial intention, it works, it's binding. Break the one ace way. Rav Shem Gamliel Omer Hadin Bishloisha Upshara Bishnaim. If you want to do a din Torah, you have to have a minimum of 3 days on him. If you want to do a pshara, a compromise, then you don't need three. You can even have two. V'yofa koich pshara mikoich adin. In one respect, pshara is, in a sense, better than din. That what chishnaim shadonu. If two were done, two dayanim did din, and the baledinim are not happy with the psak, they can go and have charot and say, sorry, you're only two, we're not interested. Once they did a pshara, you're stuck with it. So pshara, therefore, in a sense, is stronger than the inyan of din. But what do I see from this? What I see from this is that two, it doesn't work. The baledinim are not bound by it. If you had two that started off, shnayim shedonu, baledinim yichol lachzer b'din. Forget about it, mister. I'm not interested in what you have to say. What do you mean? Shmuel said, be shedonu dinayim din. This is Reb Shem Gamliel talking. Maybe they're bought and disagree, and they say no, that two is worthless. Reb says, not only Reb Shem Gamliel, all the Tanoim agree that two is worthless. And you're telling me, according to Shmuel, two is fine. It's just a bed and chotzev. But their verdict and their psak is binding on the litigants. Says the Chastira, Shmuel and Reb Avo. Says the Gemara, it's not a stira. It's a machloikis amiroim between Shmuel and Reb Avo. Then Gavra Karomis, you're asking Akasha on Shmuel from Reb Avo. Shmuel holds two is sufficient. Reb Avo holds two is not sufficient. You have to have a minimum of three, and if you only had two, it's not binding. Have a wonderful evening, everybody. Says.